Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation today is found written in Romans in the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So far the text. In Christ Jesus, our Savior, dear Christian friends, one of the crimes that is pervasive in the digital world we live in is identity theft. There's a plethora of people who are proficient plotters of pilfering other people's names and their social security numbers and credit card numbers. Recently, I read online that there were over 400,000 cases of credit card fraud reported just over the past year in America, making it the most common type of identity theft. And as for the various states, how they rank, Georgia saw the highest number of ID theft reports per capita in 2022. With 574 reported cases per 100,000 residents. Colorado ranks in the middle of the pack, about 27th. Of course, no one appreciates having their ID stolen because it can wreak havoc as to their finances, their credit history, and can take a lot of time, effort, and money to resolve. You know, it's interesting to note as you read the Bible that the Bible teaches us about an actual changing of people's identity, which is good. The Bible reveals how that every Christian man, woman, and child has gone through a truly blessed identity change through the redemptive work of Christ and by the sanctifying work of God the Holy Spirit in the heart. And that is what we want to talk about this morning, how we as Christians can and should rejoice that we have undergone a real identity change. As baptized children of God, we have a new life to live for the Lord, in which we are dead and buried as to sin, in which we are risen with Christ and are living for the glory of our God. So what was our old identity, our former identity? Well, Paul describes it actually back in Ephesians, another one of his letters in chapter 2. He wrote to the Ephesians and writes the same thing to us. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Just like the rest, we were by nature objects of God's wrath. So simply put, we were at one time a people who, because of our inborn depravity, were separated from the Lord, and we were destined to spend an eternity apart from Him in the miseries of hell. The Augsburg Confession, one of our Lutheran confessional statements based in scriptures, also speak of this very graphically in Article 2 on Original Sin. Our churches teach that since Adam's fall into sin, all men who are fathered in the normal physical way are conceived and born with sin. And this means that they're born without the fear of God, without trust in God, and with evil desires. And this disease or original sin truly is sin, and it condemns and brings eternal death to those not born again through baptism and the Holy Spirit. So that's a good description of our old identity. How did it come about, friends, that we who were estranged from the Lord, separated from Him, excluded from citizenship in heaven, having no hope and without God in the world, are now fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's family with heaven as our destiny? As Paul speaks about in our text. He says, verses 3 and 4, do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Paul's presenting the sublime truth that when we got baptized, the Lord caused us to become participants and the beneficiaries of all the events of the life of Christ, the life He lived as our Redeemer, as mankind's Savior. When Jesus kept the Ten Commandments, our Father in heaven, through our baptism, came to view us as having kept the Ten Commandments perfectly. When Jesus died on the cross to atone for our sins, we died with Him there. And when He was buried in the grave, we were buried right next to Him. Our guilt record was, so to speak, put 6 feet under, never to be unearthed again. The words of one of our hymns, our sins were laid on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bore them all and freed us from the accursed load. Our guilt was charged to Jesus. He washed our crimson stains white in His blood most precious. No sin spot now remains. Now we have a new identity as baptized children of God. And when Paul says here, our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, presenting another splendid truth, that the Lord God gave us the amazing ability to do what no unbeliever can do, and that is to view sin for what it really is. Not as the trivial thing that the world considers it to be, as something you don't need a Savior to come and save you from, but as something truly serious, which Jesus came to save us from and has, so that we count ourselves now to be dead to sin, and we strive to avoid it, Shall we go on sinning, Paul asks, so that more grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live any longer in it? As we reflect upon how the God of love blessed us with our new identity through our baptism, that leads us to daily drown our old Adam, our sin nature, by contrition and repentance, and to seek to avoid the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires like those described by Paul in Galatians chapter 5, the acts of the sinful nature, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and hatred, and jealousy, and fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, because we know that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why, friends, you and I should be encouraged to think about our baptism a lot. Treasure it. Thank God for it. We should keep it etched upon our memories when we get up in the morning, as we go through our busy day, when we turn in at night. Because in this way, the Lord will continue to use our baptism, which happened in the distant past, to spiritually benefit us each day of the present. Notice how Paul expands on this thought, adds additional luster to it, the new identity we've received in our baptism, when he says, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. And in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." So, through our baptism, the Lord also blesses us with the ability not only to resist sin temptations, but to produce the positive fruit of the Holy Spirit. In that same Galatians chapter, some of them are enumerated, blessings, fruits like love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To be like, ran across this illustration somewhere, I think it's a good description of us Christians with our new identity, to be like fish in water, who know that we belong not in the cesspools of sin, but in the freshwater sea of Christ's holiness and goodness, to endeavor to live sanctified lives for his praise and to serve the Lord in those around us with works of kindness and love, and to find deep satisfaction in doing things for others, which, once again, the ungodly world has no consideration for, thinks they're worthless. Even the little things like Jesus talked about in our gospel lesson, giving a cup of cold water to a little child because he's a disciple, or as a husband, sweeping the floor for your wife. Little things like fixing dinner for your family, washing dishes for mom, taking out the trash for dad, continuing to let our motto be, as Paul wrote in another beautiful place, Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." All because of the reflecting of the new identity that we have as baptized children of God. Two other examples I wanted to share about, you know, how Christians may reflect their new identity in Christ, concrete examples, examples of it. There was a Christian man named Bill. He was sitting in the break room at work with a coworker. named Jack. Their conversation turned from sports, from the weather, finally even to the topic of religion. Jack, who was the unbeliever, knew that Bill was a Christian. He observed how he avoided using foul language, unlike some of the other co-workers. He also knew that Bill was a regular churchgoer. Jack, the unbeliever, did not have much good to say about Christians or about Christianity. In the middle of their little talk, Bill, the Christian, asked Jack, the unbeliever, "Do you know where sinners go?" "I suppose you're going to tell me they go to hell." "No," said Bill, "they go to church to thank Jesus for saving them from sin and hell." And then he went on to share the story of Jesus visiting in the home of the tax collector, Matthew, sharing with him the words of eternal life and enabling Matthew, by the power of the word, to undergo an identity change, the very Matthew that wrote the first book of the New Testament, one of the disciples of Jesus. The other example is of a Christian woman named Beth, who was having a rough go of it medically. She had been diagnosed with lung cancer, and while undergoing chemo, she was able to witness her faith to fellow patients at that clinic and with the staff at the clinic by exhibiting a calm demeanor in the painful trial that she was going through. And when someone asked her, "How can you be so calm and at peace in the things that you're suffering?" she said, "Well, I know I'm in the hands of the Lord. What He ordains is always good. His loving thought attends me. No poison can be in the cup that my physician sends me. And I know that a happy future awaits." So we see how the Lord, the Holy Spirit, enabled her as a new person in Christ to find great peace and joy in what Paul wrote in our text, verse 8 and verse 5, that if we've been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him, Christ, in His resurrection. If we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. After the cross-bearing, now comes the crown-wearing later, when our changed identity in Christ will be openly revealed and enjoyed to the full. So rejoice in that. Rejoice in your new identity as a believer in Christ, as a baptized child of God, that you can say with Peter and take these words of Peter for your comfort, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you had not obtained mercy, now you have obtained mercy." Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And oh, by the way, no one will ever be able to steal our identity in Christ. Hallelujah and amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Your presence, and take not Your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold